Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. We got somebody here, with a new friend. I think you're going to have a lot of fun with, and you're going to learn something from, and he's going to have a lot to teach us over the coming months and years. He doesn't know it yet, folks, but as you know, we're like the Hotel California. When we find somebody we like, they can check out anytime they like, but they can never leave. Jim Randall is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Jim is a new friend. He is an attorney. He is an expert on financial literacy. He's been studying these issues for a long time. He's gotten a series of books started, folks, that I think is going to become part of your life. And I'm just going to tell you about one right this minute, and I'll tell you about some others in a minute. The first one is called The Skinny on the Housing Crisis. Jim Randall, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Jim, I am so angry that I didn't think of what you've done here, because this, what you've done here with the stick men, is beautiful. It's simple. It cuts to the point. It's fun, and it tells a story. And I just want to congratulate you and tell you how angry I am at myself and jealous I am of you.
Well, thank you very much. I've had a lot of fun with it, and people have been reading them and hearing about them. Reviewers. Seems to be resonating. We're very excited.
Well, they've just come out, and it's already an award-winning book, isn't it?
Yes, we just last week won the gold medal in a book competition for the book you're holding, The Skinny on the Housing Crisis, from an organization in Washington, D.C., about 600 journalists and professionals who follow housing and finance business.
And
so
it's
we're
not,
very excited.
It wasn't even the Stickman Award, was it? I mean,
we were up against all the big publishers,
yeah,
which, of course, gave us that little added
right
pleasure.
Congratulations. Okay, so the idea, folks, behind Jim's book is he uses stickmen and stickwomen, you'll be glad to know. He uses them to tell the story. And as we were saying offline, off the air a minute ago, Jim, when you give a life to a character, they can get away with anything, can't they?
Yeah, they can think and say whatever they want, and of course, it's not the same as the author thinking and saying it. And you can have a lot of fun and do some instructional things.
Okay, so let's talk about what happened. The book, The Skinny on the Housing Crisis, goes through. It starts with everything in this book is the personification of what's happened in the marketplace to millions of Americans. At least we're just going to talk about Americans right now, because these are couples who thought they could have the American dream. They bought a house. They bought too much house, probably. They got sucked into the whirlwind of the whole mortgage home buying system, and they became victims, didn't they?
Yes, and what we try to do is take them along each step, show where they made a poor decision, where they could have done some homework and didn't, showed what they were thinking, what the other principals in the process, the mortgage broker, the real estate agent, the lender, et cetera, were thinking, and show people exactly what to do and what not to do.
Well, and these aren't investors, folks. These aren't people who are buying condos. The people Jim's talking about and that we feel are the big victims are not the ones who tried to flip a condo. These are people who bought a home to live in, aren't they?
Yes, no, this is a young couple, probably a typical young couple. There are probably tens and tens of thousands of people who had a story just like this, real people.
But let's be fair about this, Jim. There's plenty of blame. There's no step along the way. There's no player in this whole process that doesn't bear responsibility, including the young couple.
Yeah, and that's an important theme of this book and all our books, Jim. You know, this housing crisis got enormous press, as you know, and there's blame going around to everyone. And to some extent, it's true. There is blame attributable to everyone. But ultimately, I think that the consumer, the investor, they have to look in the mirror and say, hey, I could have educated myself. Like, this is the house, for example, is one of the largest purchases people will ever make.
Right.
And yet they do more homework when they're buying a used car than when they're buying a house, and it makes no sense.
Right, that's exactly right. So what did our young couple learn?
Well, they learned that people in the system, just as you said, the so-called professionals, the real estate agents, the mortgage brokers, the lenders, the home inspectors, the attorneys, the title insurers, all have an agenda that may not be in sync, may not be in the best interest of the home buyer. So one thing
and yet the home buyer has that impression, don't they?
Yeah, and that's a big problem. Most home buyers don't really understand how real estate agents and brokers work, how mortgage brokers work, how lenders get compensated, why attorneys and home inspectors aren't always on their side. And yet, all of those professionals give out the impression that, yeah, hey, I'm working for you, Mr. and Mrs. Home Buyer. And in fact, in many cases, they're actually in conflict.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I wanted to ask you is this story is about what has happened. This is a historical story. How much of what this young couple learned that you, as you portray in the book, how much of what they learned in the past era, so to speak, of home buying is going to accrue to the next era?
Well, as you know, the current administration is trying to make a lot of changes in the laws, and they're trying to create this new agency, Consumer Finance Protection Agency.
What do you think about that?
I think it's good. I was just in Washington a week ago, and I think the intention is good. But what I really think is that this isn't rocket science, and that what the government and our leaders and opinion makers like yourself and myself and educators and parents, we've got to take it on ourselves, responsibility to teach and to educate and to help. This isn't rocket science. People can learn this on their own, and they should.
Well, see, one of the things that troubles me is, as I said earlier, you know, even the home buyer, other than the people who were clearly defrauded and were given the wrong information, the home buyer signed that contract. When they, you know, if they'd stopped and thought about it, if they hadn't gotten caught up in the whirlwind that allowed themselves to be caught up in it, they would have known that they couldn't afford this house. And so when we try to keep people in those houses that they couldn't afford in the first place, I think that's a mistake. We'll take a quick break. Jim Randall is our guest. His book is called The Skinny on the Housing Crisis, and we'll be right back.
Every night I hope and pray a dream lover will come my way.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Little Bobby Darin bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out and using it to your advantage. We'll follow you home with our newsletter. If you're subscribed to it, just go right there off the homepage and click on the newsletter. You can see a sample. We'll follow you home with our blog. If you want to get a new, every time we post a new blog post, and we'll send that to you as well. Or you can just come and wander around on our blog. That's right off the homepage. You can ask questions at our knowledge base, which is right off the homepage. Lots and lots of stuff there. Articles, archives, Brain Trust members. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes. We got something in between those two that you can read or listen to. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Jim Randall is our guest. He's founder of Rand Publishing and the author of The Skinny on the Housing Crisis, but also, and folks, I have these in my hand, The Skinny on Real Estate Investing, The Skinny on Willpower, The Skinny on Credit Cards. I just pray that he doesn't do The Skinny on being a talk show host. But Jim, we're talking about the housing, Skinny on the Housing Crisis, but before we go any further, I want to know how we can find your books and how we can find you.
Great, thank you. Well, we have a website called www.theskinnyon.com. It's all one word, theskinnyon.com, no spacing. And, of course, our books are also at Amazon.
Right, so check that out, theskinnyon.com. And if you ever decide to write that book about being a talk show, it'll be a short book, just one page with a little guy says, run away. We're talking about the housing crisis and how it happened, and also what can we learn from this? That's the main thing. That's the main thing that we have to ask ourselves, isn't it, Jim? Whenever things don't turn out well, we make mistakes, we have failures. We've got to slow down and say, okay, what did we learn?
No, I agree. And we learned a lot. We learned about trusting and not doing our own homework. We learned about assuming that any asset class, be it real estate, stock market, commodities, is always going to go up, which was completely unfounded assumption.
Well, that was the maxim. That was a generally accepted truth for generations.
It was, and yet if you look at the history of housing, it doesn't always go up. It certainly flattens out. And also, if you look at the history of housing, the spike that occurred from about 2000 on was so dramatic,
right,
that any responsible economist was saying, this has got to stop.
I had a realtor come to me about 7 years ago or 8 years ago, and she was so excited because she had just heard about a mortgage product where people could borrow more than 100% of the price of the real estate.
Yeah, there was all sorts of.
And she was so excited because for her, that meant she was going to put a lot of people in homes that she couldn't have put in homes before. Well, the truth is, there's a reason why you're not supposed to lend people more than the value of an asset.
Yeah, we
found that out, haven't we?
Yeah, you're making two important points. One is that all the underwriting was crazy and was completely irresponsible, and for a lot of reasons. The lenders weren't holding on to the loans. They were selling
the
loans.
Right.
And the other point you're making is, and I do take a swipe in the book at the real estate brokerage business, that a lot of these agents who held themselves out as trying to help the buyer really are incented, of course, just to make a sale and to push the highest price sale possible, because then they make more money.
Well, and then they disengage too. Once the transaction's done, they got the commission. They still have their commission, but the home buyer, you know, the broker got the commission, the real agent got the commission, the attorney got paid, the mortgage company took the fees, the investment house that rolled it up into a security and passed it on got their fees. Everybody got their fees, and the people left holding the bag were the homeowners and their neighbors and the people who wound up with the investment.
And the taxpayer.
And now, ultimately, sadly, the taxpayer. You mentioned realtors. The one thing that I really am troubled about realtors, and I'm glad you pointed out about everybody in the book. You left me out, thank God. But is the issue of locking in and not wavering from a 6% commission on housing. On housing for the commissions. We've got to allow those rates to be able to float free in the marketplace like all other services.
No, it's true that, as you know, investments, stockbrokers, travel industry,
yes,
everybody seems to be acknowledging that we need competition and that if rates fall, rates fall. The NAR, National Association of Realtors, is a very, very powerful group, one of the most powerful lobbies in Washington.
And also in each state.
Yeah, and in each state they would, in certain cases, fight rate competition under the claim that, well, the professionalism isn't there. We can't let online or discount brokers operate because they're not giving the consumer the professionalism. And by the way, the fact that they're half the rate is irrelevant. They're just not providing the services.
Yeah, which we now know with the advent of the internet is really not true, because home buyers are more able to do a lot of their own due diligence now, and because with the internet. Hey, Jim, we got to wrap it up, but will you come back another day? You've got a lot more to teach us.
I'd love to. Your questions are terrific, and also your insights.
Well, I appreciate it, Jim Randall, ladies and gentlemen. That's theskinnyon.com. Is that right, Jim?
TheSkinnyOn.com, all one word.
And
right.
And he's got four books out right now, folks. You want to check these out. Not only will you learn, but they're a lot of fun. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.